Now, in chapter 3, verse 10, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. There, see, the devil has children. He fathers a family. Now, let's talk a minute about unrighteousness and look back at Romans 2, 8. Just to get the scope of the devil's family and of the unrighteousness that's there. To get the big picture of unrighteousness. You know, if unrighteousness means not acceptable, righteousness means acceptable, that means there are some deeds, some thoughts, some words, some actions that don't cut it with God. But that doesn't alter His love for you, for God so loved the world. Now, when we talk about the word reconciliation, it's very important that you know that you are the enemy, not God. God was never mad at you. God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved the world except when He was mad. And if you go to the Greek, the word reconciliation there is very, very specific. It's a one-sided reconciliation. In a marriage deal where you have some trauma, the husband has to reconcile the wife to the husband has to be mutual change. And that word does not mean mutual change. It means reconciliation on one part only. Now, whose part would that be? That would be our part. We are reconciled. We were enemies of God because we had a sin nature, because that nature produced sin. We had to be changed on the inside. It's only the change on the inside. And there's no change on the inside apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from what He has done. And when He changes you, He makes you righteousness. He makes you acceptable. Have you ever eaten anything that wasn't acceptable? Sometimes you even fixed it yourself, right? I've done that. I'm thinking, wow. We won't be doing this again. Unacceptable. Now, you know the Psalms. It talks about the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable. Obviously, some things are not acceptable. And the spirit of man that does not know God, that is unrighteous, far from God, that has the nature of Satan, is constantly going to be producing, in cooperation with the flesh, works of sin. You know, now the flesh is always in the wrong ballpark. It's always lost, always wandering around. It represents me and mine, do for me, bring to me, give to me. I need this, I need that. It always represents its cause. It's not interested in the law. It's not interested in the books of the law. It's not interested in the scriptures. It's not interested in the old covenant or the new covenant either. It's only interested in what promotes itself, brings its own comfort, frees it from pain. And when the man on the inside is a sinner and has a sin nature and speaks up and produces works of sin, the flesh is delighted with that. They work in agreement. They work together. And when the man on the inside says, you know, we could tell a little lie here. And the flesh says, good idea, because we tell a little lie, maybe we won't get caught. And they work in conjunction. But when the man on the inside comes to Christ and becomes a new creature, then the flesh is left without a partner. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The flesh is left without a partner, and you're supposed to be constantly aware that the flesh is going to lead you not towards righteousness, but towards unrighteousness, unrighteous acts, unrighteous deeds. The sinner is not righteous. He's not right with God. He's not right with God. He cannot do right things because of what's on the inside. But when the inside is changed, there's going to be a change in the outside, but that change is not going to come to the flesh. It's only come to the mind as you renew the mind, as you take time to reprogram your mind, then you become different because when you say, the new man says, let's love one another, the mind that's being renewed says, I've read that, let's do that. Because you're taking time to read and meditate and to change your mind. Your mind has to be changed. You ever try to change somebody's mind about something? Like a husband or a mother or a child? We kind of get stuck in a rut, stuck in our own opinions, and not really interested in you changing my mind this way I'm going to do it, and I'm not really interested in seeing it your way. In fact, I'm not really listening to you. Past saying, right, if you see it that way, it's not the way I'm going to do it. Or even a lot of times we're agreeable, and then we go on and do it like we were going to do it anyway. I mean, you thought you had my attention, but you didn't really. I'm just being, I don't know if that's polite to listen, ignore you or not, but that's a lot of times what we're doing. We're just being polite. And we're ignoring you because the man on the inside has authority under Christ. When you come to God, the man on the inside, the new creature, has authority. But when he speaks to the flesh is not going to be in agreement. And the mind is only going to agree if you've taken time to put the Word of God in your mind, and it comes to the mind from the Spirit on the inside. It floats up. As you read, as you meditate, the Holy Ghost is a teacher of the church. He teaches you, and he changes you.